the Lord said, as I was preparing, I want you to remind my church of their purpose. I want you to remind my church of their purpose. Before we do that today, we're going to stand and we're going to do our declaration, and I'm going to pray and we're going to get into the word. So say this with me. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. You may be seated. And God, I say thank you. I praise you that you are already here. You've already gone before us. You're watching our back. You're guarding our front. You're looking side to side. You have all our surroundings covered. We are safe with you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the way that you're leading already. Fill my mouth with your words. Help me to speak true. I thank you and I love you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Remind them of our purpose. I'm to remind you that you and I, however good intentions that we have, we can do nothing unless we are abiding, remaining, dwelling, living with Jesus at every second. We can do nothing. Let's read what John chapter 15, starting in verse 5, says. He says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my disciples. And this brings glory to my Father. When I initially read that and was praying about what he wanted us to do, who he wanted us to be, and all that, I initially looked at the remaining part, those who remain and produce. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But as I read it this time, I had this thought that came to mind, and oh gosh, we experience it so often, especially if you're sharing your faith and going into the not Christian-y places, and you're not using all the Christian-y words, and you got people that are like, I don't believe that. You're a liar. You're you know, that's hocus pocus, you know, whatever. They're this baloney. You know, they're saying all these things because what they see when they read this is, I believe they remain on verse 6. Is a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and burnt. And their first thing is, so you mean to tell me that if I don't do what your God says I do, I'm dead? Yeah, that's what we mean. So was I. So were all y'all. Because God is righteous. God is holy. Our sin is not. Our sin is a barrier. Our sin separates. So yes, that's precisely what we're telling you. But when I look at this with regenerated eyes and a regenerated heart, things that we just got unsaying, mind and my voice declaring what he's saying, when I see this, I see the joy that he has on his face in verse 7 when he says, but if you remain in me, in my words, all the things that I've taught you remain in you. And you start saying those things. What does he say? I see a father here who loves you because he says, you may ask for anything that you want. And I couldn't tell you no because I don't want to, because I love you and you're mine and I am yours. A father who loves us wants to bless us. That's the heart of the Father. Amen. He's doing the other thing because he has to for holiness, not because he wants to. Do you see that? I hope you see that. And when you produce much fruit, You are my true disciples. And my favorite part, as like I said, I see him smiling here. He said, it brings glory to my Father. How could I not want to bring glory to my Father? Are you kidding me? Right? He said, that brings glory to my Father. I'm all about that. Right? So then we go into verse 9. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. I've got that highlighted. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and obey in his love. What? Yeah, Jesus does things a certain way too. No different than what he asks us to do. Right? We're starting to see the human side of him because he came and he served and he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. I want to be obedient and I want to show you that if you are aligned with me and you abide in me and I abide in you, you can't fail him because I don't fail him. Are you with me? Amen. So do you see how important it is that we're consistently seeking his guidance, seeking his direction, right? Verse 11, I love this. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Not only that, yes, your joy will overflow. Have you been in the presence of people whose joy overflows? It's not the same, right? It just gets all over and you're like, yeah, you know. You don't know where that came. Wait, I don't do that, right? Where did that come from? But we need that. That's what's different. That's the stuff that changes people that say, I don't believe in your God. Your God's mean. Well, when you get around somebody who's not judgy and not ridiculous and using words that most people don't understand, but you're real with them and you're overflowing with joy, who can't like that? Right? And then he reminds us again in verse 12, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. And then he tells us what kind of love that is. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. If you're his friend, you're going to want to do that, is what he's saying. Do you see that? So I no longer call you slaves. I no longer call you servants, whatever language you want to use there. I won't call you this anymore because a master doesn't confide this sort of thing into his slaves. You don't know all his business. You don't get to know the story currently, historically, or for the future. But he said, I'm going to tell it all to you. Whatever the Father reveals to me, I'm revealing to you. How about that? Whoa, do you understand what this means? Guys, there were so many in the before Christ time period, whatever you want to say that is, I won't get into that in today's message, but before Christ, there were so many people that longed to see and longed to hear and longed to know what we experience every day. And had they been the ones that are stewarding that, I would dare say they would treat it differently than some of us have. We've lost the mindset of, this is holy. We've lost the mindset of, do you understand what he's entrusted to us? What he's asked of us? And what it requires us to give? What it requires us to lay down? Now, some may carry a cross that you look over and you say, that's not a cross. That's easy. Come on. Lord, come on. And what you don't know is how difficult or not difficult it is for them because you're not them. And he's designed it that way. What trips you up and what trips them up are not the same. And it was never supposed to be. You're not clones. You're individuals. You have a choice. You have your own journey. Will you be faithful to him? Even when you're like, I feel like I'm carrying so much weight. You know, they're not. Be faithful. Press on. Verse 16 says, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for." So he's saying it again. "So that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." We want to do this, is what he's saying. Do you realize how much we want to bless you? "So this is my command. Love each other." I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and I did not bring my Bible. It's in my office somewhere. So I'm going to use the cool digital one. Praise the Lord for these. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. So what kind of love is he talking about? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. Come on, somebody. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Come on. It keeps no record of wrongs. But they said, but they did. Oh, this one time. Nope. As far as the east is to the west, it's gone. We get in that regard, we get Holy Spirit amnesia, and it's okay. All right? Let it go. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. In another portion of Scripture, the Bible tells us that God is love. We are told one of the most famous verses of all, that God so loved us, that God so loved the world, that he did what? He gave. He gave us the greatest gift we could ever have. Why? Because he loved you. He loved me. He didn't want any of us to perish, eternally separated. I think if we as Christians start living out the story rather than trying to control the narrative and control what's said and how it's said and who it's said to, I think they'll start to see that thread of love in everything we say and everything we do. You won't have to beg them. You won't have to work hard to convince them. The Word of God shows us that it's Christ who woos us to himself. Just as he won you and I, he's going to do that for them. Do you see that? As I was thinking about love, I asked the Lord, what does this kind of love look like? He gave me 1 Corinthians 13 there, and as we just read. And then he said, you want to know something else? I said, yeah. He said all the other types of love that humans experience are poor attempts to copy mine. So when someone's letting you down, they're not measuring up to your expectations. That's not the Father's love. That's our love, and we are going to fail. I'm going to say things that you're like, man, what a bonehead. Why did he say that? I don't like that guy anymore. I'm leaving this place. If you act in your flesh. But if you act according to 1 Corinthians 13, you're going to say, the Lord compels me to be at peace. The Lord compels me to show honor, even when I don't think it is deserved. And I'm going to try to figure this out, because I don't know what you meant or why you said it that way, but surely there's something, because you love Jesus, I love Jesus. I think he can work this out, right? He's capable of that. Billions on earth. And he's capable of keeping it all together, right? Poor attempts to copy. We're not going to read this, but I encourage you to. John 15, 18 through 27, Jesus reminds us that the world will hate us. That's also not a message we like to hear. What? The world will hate us. Why? He said it hated me first. And he said, even more so, just as I was not a part of this world, you're not part of this world. You're in this world. And he says, we have been commissioned to transform our cities and the nations, to turn their hearts to him. Amen. That's our commission. That's our appointment. Go and produce lasting fruit. So I have a question for you. Are we really being led by the Holy Spirit every day of our lives? I'm going to color this for you. Let's see if we are. Galatians 5, 13 through 26. I do have this on the screen. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Instead, use your freedom to do what? Serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Are you seeing a theme? Are you seeing a pattern? Written by two different guys, by the way, but one Holy Spirit. Verse 15. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. What are your words doing? Measure your words. Man, have I been building somebody up or have I been tearing them down? What have my words accomplished? Take inventory. Lord, I know you can fix it. You can, but help me measure my words correctly. Help me to say what you need me to say and let my focus and my mind and my heart be intent on building someone up, not tearing them down. Change my language. I love this. This is really important. Look at this. Verse 16. So I say, look at the next word. Let the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say, so I say, Holy Spirit's going to just come in and run the show. He's going to do whatever he wants. No, he says, let the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to ask, can I lead us here? Can I tell you what to say? Can I tell you to be quiet and sit down and don't say or do anything? Are you letting Holy Spirit guide your life? It's a choice. That should blow your mind. It blew my mind. I was like, wait a second. You mean to tell me all the times that I've messed up really bad was because I got in the way? Dang it. But he's like, yeah. And I cleaned up a lot of the mess. It wasn't as bad as it could have been. But would you let me guide your life? I do know what I'm doing. I've done it before. You're not the first hard-headed boy I've had to deal with, right? Or girl, whatever your situation is. Some comparison I wanted to give before I continue on too further past this verse. When I saw the phrase, serve one another in love, the two immediate boys that came to mind were Cain and Abel. And Cain, much like the rest of us, said what many of us probably would have said. Hey, Cain, where's Abel? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? First off, to be so bold as to tell the Lord that in the way I imagine he told the Lord. Goodness. But second, yeah, you are. In case you were wondering, you answered your own question. You know how we often do that? Like, we ask a rhetorical question when we already know the answer. We're just trying to find the loophole. He's like, you know that you are. Why? Because we're called to serve one another in love. And I will do everything to bless you, everything to build you up, everything to empower you to be all that God's called you to be. Because I trust and I know that you'll do the same for me. And often, so I'm going to position it to you this way because this might be foreign to us. I can try to work on myself, but often, if you're like me, I am my own hardest critic and worst enemy 99.9% of the time. I don't see what others might see. So I welcome and encourage that feedback. I welcome and encourage that guidance and that help because they're seeing something from the outside and they're like, hey, man, God's doing something. And you're like, are you sure? were you talking to someone else behind me? Or me? You know? Yeah, I see God doing something. Man, you're on fire for him. You're alive in him. And you're like, I don't see that. So first, don't squish the miracle. Say, praise God. I didn't see it, but I hear it, and I'll receive that, right? And then let them help you grow. And as you see that in their lives, help them grow. But that's all from a place of love. It's not tearing down. Hey, you do this wrong. Stop doing that. It's, hey, let's do this together. Here's something my mom or my dad or my brother or my friend taught me. What do you think of this? You know, and you're just kind of shifting it. And you're maybe doing it better. Maybe it's not better. But you're doing it together and you're doing it in love. You're building together. My contrast in that is David and Jonathan. Those that are in our small group on Wednesday nights have heard us talk about David and Jonathan. We've just begun to get into that part of the story in 1 Samuel. But here is a man in Jonathan that has already heard that the kingdom is not going to be yours. It's not going to remain in your family. Your dad, he blew it for all of you kind of thing is more or less probably how he's feeling. And there's this guy that the Lord has found that is after his own heart, and he's going to be the king. And then the day comes that he meets him. And the scriptures say that Jonathan's heart was knitted to David's. And there was nothing that this man wouldn't do for his king, because he saw that relationship of how it should be, because he was led by the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to honor you no matter what. That's the contrast that the Lord wants us to have for each other. Your heart should be knitting together, not dividing, not breaking down and tearing up. Do you hear that? Listen to what the scripture says, continuing on in Galatians 5:17. It says, the sinful nature, our flesh, wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants to do. But remember, he's not going to make you. You have to let him guide you. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So we have this little scale that is in front of us. What will I do? These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Good intentions are worth diddly. You need Holy Spirit. You need his help. You need his strength. But listen, verse 18. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law. It says to the law of Moses in this one. Verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, here are the results. Now, here's what I wrote on mine. I would encourage you to write in yours. I am totally good with writing in your Bible, especially if it helps you remember it. So do it. This is the fruit of the flesh. Verse 22, we get into the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So right next to it, fruit. Verse 19, here's what the results are. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, and here's the other fruit. So remember, we've been talking about love, we've been talking about service, we've been talking about fruit. Here's the other fruit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So what he's saying is, you can observe and look around. All right, what kind of fruit am I seeing? That gives me a good idea of what I'm dealing with. And I'm still going to serve you in love, but I'm going to do it with wisdom, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so I can speak to whatever it is that you and I are dealing with. Are you with me? So the Holy Spirit produces this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and have crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, one version it says it this way, let us keep in step. It reminds me of, you know, the military marching left, left, right, left. But since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. There's words that I've said so far today that you're like, dang it. I'm like 12 for 12 or, you know, 10 for 10, whatever. You know, it's like, oh man, you know, there's good news. You can start listening to Holy Spirit right here, right now, and say, help me. I don't want to be this way. I don't want to live this way. I want freedom. I want life. I want transformation power flowing in me and through me. My last point No, hold on one second. I want to go to one spot. We won't go to the whole verse, but would you guys pull up James chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 7. James 4 confirms a lot of what we've been talking about so far in terms of our desires, you know, us battling that war with the flesh and yielding more to the Holy Spirit. And he tells them, he says in verse 4, right before we're getting to our spot here, he says, do you not realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? And the challenge that many of us have is we receive blessing, and the blessing almost intoxicates us in the sense that we're like, I don't want to see anything else. I just want to just remain in this blessing, and it's so nice and so awesome. And if the Lord asks me to sacrifice it, I'm going to say, get behind me, Satan. And like, you know, all these other things, because you don't believe that it's God, because you're like, I'm blessed. He wants me to be happy. He wants me to, you know, and it's like, he didn't say that. He said you can ask, and provided that it glorifies the Father and you're living in him and you're producing fruit, it is his pleasure to give it to you. But he didn't say that he's chosen you to be here to live with a white picket fence and a massive house and 12 cars in your garage and all these things. That's not blessed. Those are things. Do you see that? Don't you realize that friendship or being in love with the world makes you an enemy of God? He then says it again. I'll say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the Spirit he's placed within us should be faithful to him. I'm going to say, and to him alone. And he gives grace generously. So he knows we mess up. The scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So what does he want us to do? So humble yourselves before God. Here's my favorite part. I highlighted mine. Highlight yours. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I put a box around flee. Flee means that he got his butt stomped, and now he's running away because he got his butt kicked. Not like, oh, I'm just going to leave them alone. No, he's running away in terror. Do you see that? He's fleeing from you because you're not talking to him like, leave me alone. Go away. You know, stop annoying me. No, you're using the scriptures. You're walking in alignment with his purposes, and he can't stay where God's presence is because he's already lost. So he goes with his tail behind his legs, and he walks out of there all ashamed, like he should. He's fleeing from you. Verse 8 says, so come close to God, and God will come close to you. And there's a process here, and I like this process. I encourage you to highlight 7 through 10 and read it again and really work it through in the way that you speak to the Lord. But he says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So make it right. Humble yourselves. He says, let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. Now, he's not contradicting himself. He's saying, as it pertains to sin, don't love it so much that you want to continue doing it. Get it out of there. Mourn. Be done with it. It's dead. It's gone. The old you is no more. Don't stop trying to be the old you again. Stop trying to go backwards. It's done. Let that rest over there in that grave, and you rise up into new life and don't return back to it. Are you with me? Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. I'm going to get over here and twist on this one a little bit. So many of us try to lift ourselves up in honor. That's the position I should be doing. Why won't they give that to me? I got passed up for a promotion at work. What are they thinking? I'm the best. I'm awesome. I give all my time, all my energy. There are some things that we don't need to vocalize or prove, because the Lord, as he's been saying in all of these scriptures, is going to do that for you. Didn't we just get in talking about Gideon a second ago? Man, what about Joshua in the Battle of Jericho? Many times in scripture, be quiet. Don't say anything. I've got this, and my words are sufficient. You don't need to add anything. And I appreciate that, because if that falls on you the same way that it falls on me, as we were talking about Moses a minute ago too, he didn't need to tell the Lord that he has speech issues. That was not an obstacle for the Lord. That was an obstacle for humans, not for God. And his words of, if I'm going to put my words in your mouth, do you think I'm going to have any problems getting those words out? No. So you don't need to intercede on your own behalf. You need to be faithful. You need to remain humble. You need to continue to focus and work on building people up around you. And the Lord will elevate you to the position that he believes that you need to be in at that moment in time. And then, as we've seen, some of the hardest things for us is letting go of that last thing, letting go of that last position. Well, it was good, and it was from God, but guess what? He wants you to have something better, and you can't have something better if both of your hands are full of something else. So as you let your hands go, you can then resume the position of all I have is yours. It always has been, it always will be, and whatever you choose to place in these hands, I'll steward them, but I'll lead like this. So you could pick it up and leave it with me as you see fit. You see that? The last thing I wanted to share was how we build with Jesus. And I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and get ready. I'm going to go ahead and give you these scriptures. If you're taking notes, I'm going to read them real quick for you so you can look at them. But I'm going to only go through a couple of them here. We're going to look at Ephesians 2, verses 17 through 22. Then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10. And go ahead and just mark down verses 3 through 16. I skipped some in mine, but verses 3 through 16. So Ephesians 2 and 2 Corinthians 10. Let's start in Ephesians 2. It says, he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. And this is the stressor point that I want to talk about for the next couple minutes here. It says in verse 20, it was built, this household, God's people, members of his household, this household was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So we were talking about that earlier, that you and I are the temples of the Lord. He lives in us. But the part that I wanted to focus on is something that we're going to start journeying through the next few weeks And I encourage you just to be praying about it. Like, pray, Lord, what am I needing to hear? How am I needing to adjust and pivot so that I'm walking along the path that you've set for me? But I want to remind you that in Ephesians 4, the scriptures say, Christ gave gifts. Jesus gave apostles, evangelists, prophets, shepherds, teachers, for the maturing and the building up of the body of Christ. But so often, what we see and what we demand of people is pastor, your pastor or your teacher. And we've already talked about prophets a little bit with Alan. I believe Alan is moving and functioning in the office of a prophet. That's what these are. So think of them as ministry roles, not ministry gifts. There's another part that I can give you if you have questions about that. But everyone in here can hear a prophetic word by Holy Spirit and give a prophetic word. But not everybody is called to be the prophet. Okay? So that's what Ephesians 4 is talking about. And what I'm saying is everyone can be shepherding in their love for one another. But not everyone is called to be a shepherd. Everyone in here can teach and communicate truth in Scripture. But not everyone is called to be a teacher. Likewise with evangelists. And then the one that everybody gets hung up on, it used to be prophets too, but prophets have kind of transitioned lately. But apostles, what did the apostles do? And why, if they're gone, which is what most of us are told, there's no more apostles, no one can be an apostle. Then why does the scripture still talk about it being used as a part of the fivefold ministry to build up the church? And the question I will pose to you, so read it in scripture, it's in Ephesians 4, he says, until we all reach maturity. Take a look around. Are we mature yet? Are we there yet? Are we done? Are we finished? Has Jesus come back and transformed us into his likeness and taken us up with him to be in the clouds? No. So that means all of the office gifts that he poured out to us for this function, for this purpose, must be recognized. They must be equipped, and they must be sent to do exactly that. That foundation was built by apostles and prophets. So we're going to start talking a whole lot more about this, and I encourage you to do some studying. I'm going to continue on with our last verse here, and there's just so much, but I felt like something that the Lord wanted to do this morning as we talked about these topics to get us prepped for what's coming next. I believe he's wanting breakthrough, but not just for you and I. He loves when we experience breakthrough. But I believe what our city, what this community needs, what this area needs is breakthrough for everyone. The atmosphere needs to shift. And what starts that process is people being faithful with one thing. I'm gonna give you one job, and we're going to practice it here in just a second. A gift that all of us have and fully can flow in, but most often do not, and Paul alluded to it a minute ago. How often do we pray for something other than, oh Lord, thank you for this meal. Man, I'm so hungry right now. Bless it, transform it, let it be so nutritious, even though it's a stacked burger with tons of cheese, and it's probably not. But you're going to, right? We don't have any problem remembering to pray for our food most of the time. But the things that really, really, really matter, people experiencing Jesus in Ukraine rather than just the death and destruction, right? Well, it's not only happening over there. That stuff happens here too. When was the last time you interceded for your city? When was the last time that you prayed for the leaders of the city, even if you don't like them? And it's not like a prayer like, oh, Jesus, please help their term end shorter than it ever has in the history of terms because they need to be out of the office. They're terrible. No, but can it be, Lord, would you show them yourself? You speak to the unbeliever. You spoke to me before I accepted you. So I know you speak to the unbeliever. Would you help them listen? Would you bring valuable counselors and advisors and aides to their service that are believers, that can minister the gospel to them and help them change their course? We have no problem tearing people down. That almost comes too easy. It's scary. But let's practice building each other up. Let's practice building our city up. Let's practice praying things into existence. And that may sound weird to you, but I'm going to read a scripture and let you see what you think about it. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world, but on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." In Ephesians 6, he says there's powers and principalities. I'm going to give you just a nutshell on this as we're wrapping up. A principality can be something as simple as a principle or a belief or tradition that you and I have believed in and therefore given power to, and it was never of God. So he said, "Here, take my authority. Do whatever you want. Go wild, because I'm not paying attention to what God wants for me." And then we start wondering, man, why is our neighborhoods changing? What happened to our town? Right? All the businesses are closed. All the bushes are jacked up and nasty. Ask me and Kaya how we feel about that. We don't like it. It doesn't look good. And the challenge that a pastor friend of mine shared with me on a, or not with me, but with a group of people on a live stream was, don't be one of those churches. Now he's talking about a building, but let's talk about people too. But don't be one of those churches that looks all great and fancy and pretty on the outside, but isn't starting to change and transform the area around you. If the area around you still looks like the dump, you haven't been doing your job. If there's drug deals still going on down the street, then how about we start going and preaching the gospel to them and getting them saved? So maybe instead of passing out drugs, they're passing out tracts. Passing out food. Are you with me? Do you hear that? So what we've said today is we should be serving each other. We should be moving in love. And when we are doing what Jesus has called us to do, the fruit will be evident. We can't hide it. We're going to see what it is that we've been doing, what it is we've been aligning to, and what we haven't been. Our fruit will make it very aware for us. So I'm going to ask you guys to stand up. And I'm going to do something way different than we normally do. But I'm going to ask everyone, if you have a prayer language, would you just start praying in your prayer language and asking the Lord how we ought to start interceding for our city, starting right here and right now.